All right, all right. So the year was 1998. It was a while ago. Raise your hand if you were not yet alive in 1998. Okay, we got a few of you. Yeah, got a few of you. That's good. I was working at a community center, East Central Community Center in the Valley. I guess if the definition of being a professional is you get paid to do it, I was a professional foosball player and a professional basketball player and a professional ping pong player. I got paid to play. This was a before and after school program for kids where parents who were working could drop their kids off at the center. We would take them to school. We would pick them up from school. We would feed them a snack, keep them entertained, play, and keep them safe. It was a fantastic job, okay? There was 3 full-time staff there. The boss was named Mary. There was a guy named Alan, who, that guy seriously should have been a professional basketball player, because if he was across half court, he could make it, like, anywhere. And his team actually won the 6 foot and under competitive division, so he was like, he was good. Okay, and then there was a guy named Craig. I don't really even remember if Craig was his name, but I'm going to call him Craig just in case he's watching, okay? And Craig, if that's not your name and you're watching, I did not get permission to tell this story. Craig was this middle-aged dude, I mean, he was probably younger than I am now, that was, I can't call him weird, can I? No, he was quirky. He had some Craigisms. He had some mannerisms, and something just fascinated me about him, right? So I spent my first couple of weeks at East Central Community Center watching what he did, how he did it, and then I didn't know it, but I started copying him. Now, I knew that because myself and Alan, we were walking around the vans before we would take them to pick up kids from the schools because we had to do a little checklist and everything. And I must have kicked a tire and said some sort of Craigism because out of the blue, Alan's like, James, seriously. He said, you know you sound just like Craig right now. He says, you want to grow up to be like him? Ooh. I was younger then. But that got me thinking, right? You ever had one of those, like, something as simple as that, but almost an earth-shattering statement, like, oh, man. Because I was following Craig. Wow, now we're crying. I'm going to pray. Yeah, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we as a community get to gather. Thank you that we can be around tables. Thank you that we can laugh, converse, worship in song, worship in prayer, and in giving. Thank you that we can open up your word to us. I pray, Lord, that this morning's time would open our eyes and our ears to more of who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got a Bible or an iPad or something, you want to turn and tap with me to either Matthew 4, actually turn to Matthew 4, and also put a finger there and then turn to Matthew chapter 28. This morning we start a new sermon series that we're titling Practicing the Way. Now, this comes about for 3 different reasons. The first, John Mark Comer's book titled Practicing the Way. Okay, this we did copy his title directly, and we will utilize some of his thoughts and stuff for the flow of this series. That's one thing. Our denominational conference, the River Conference, is putting an emphasis on all of his churches this year to focus on discipleship, to create discipleship pathways. We actually already have one, which kind of ties into our vision statement, which is walking with others as we walk with Christ. You guys have heard that before, right? Hopefully. If you're new here, that's really what we think God wants us to be about, walking with others as we walk with Christ. We claim we can do that as easy as 1, 2, 3. If I can get, there we go, 1, 2, 3. 1, daily connection with Christ, at least. 2, weekly connections with other believers. And 3, monthly connections with sojourners. We think this is a starting point, okay? So, big part of why we're doing this series is because we want to figure out what it means to walk with Christ. That's what we're going to be unpacking over these next 5 weeks. I'm going to start with a simple question, not a trick question. Don't be afraid to raise your hand, okay? Do you consider yourself a Christian? If you do, go ahead and raise your hand. Some of y'all looking around. Don't look around. Okay? What's that mean, like to be a Christian? Don't answer that. Because I get to answer that this morning, right? I went to the one place where I usually do. You know, if you've been here long enough, you know I like to go to the dictionary. I looked up Christian in the dictionary. In Oxford's dictionary, it says this: Christian, relating to or professing Christianity or its teachings. That's not very helpful. No, not very helpful. The other definition in Oxford was a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. That's a little bit better. Okay, let's go to Webster. Webster's dictionary said a Christian is one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Well, that's better. Yeah, we're getting closer. So is that what we need to be Christians? We gotta believe, right? To walk with Christ, it means we gotta believe the teachings of Jesus. There's a story in the book of Acts when a guy named Paul and a guy named Silas, I believe it is, got thrown in jail for their beliefs. Listen to this, Acts chapter, let me see, 16, here we go. You just follow, listen, and I'll read it out loud. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. That's what would have happened had his boss found out that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here!" And the jailer flipped the light switch on, or called for lights, ran down to the dungeon, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, along with everyone in your household." They shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Believe. According to Webster, that fits the definition of Christian. Okay? Same guy, Paul the Apostle, wrote a letter to the church in Rome that he started. I think he ever went there, but it started. He wrote a letter to him. It says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is the Lord and do what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." All right. One of Jesus' closest friends, the self-proclaimed disciple whom Jesus loved. Wow, you gotta be confident who you are to be able to write that. He said this in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. The disciples saw that Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. This is at the end of John. But these are written so that you may continue to, help me out, believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Believe. Be a Christian. Believe. Have life. Believe. Be saved. According to these three stories, that's all we need. Right? Jesus said similar things. In the original language of Jesus, which is the King James translation of the Bible, John chapter 14, verse 1 in the King James, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." If anybody said "ye" in a sentence this last week, I'll give you a basket full of candy. Anybody? Okay, great. McCabe, go ahead and make sure he gets plenty of candy. In the NIV, that same verse reads like this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus talking. Just a couple of chapters earlier in John chapter 12, Jesus said this: "Then Jesus cried out, 'Whoever believes in me and does not believe.'" Boy, did I even write that right? "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me. Oh, there we go. Here we go. "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." And that's the end of the verse. So even Jesus said it, right? Believe. Believe. That's all he was asking for. Am I right? Don't answer. You got your fingers in Matthew 28. I want you to actually follow along if you have it there. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It's the last thing Jesus said before he returned to his Father in heaven. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make believers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That sound right? Sounds right, if you read it fast enough. To be a Christian, to follow Jesus, to walk with Jesus, is just subscribing to a specific set of doctrines or beliefs. Go into all the world and make people of faith. Go into all the world and make believers. Jesus' half-brother James said this in James chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you," he writes. "Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." I'm a person of faith. I'm a believer. Isn't that enough? There was a guy who lived 1,400 years ago. I didn't know him personally. Okay, he lived from 580 to 662 A.D. He has become known as the St. Maximus the Confessor. Okay, so in the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, he has reached sainthood. He began his career as a politician, a civil servant is what they called it back then. Okay, and he switched to monastic life later on. This guy 1,400 years ago said this: "A person who is simply a man of faith is not a disciple." A person who is simply a man of faith is not a disciple. If you followed along with me when I read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you saw that I changed a word in there. Hopefully you did. If not, I'm going to make it intentional here. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commands I've given you." He doesn't say go and make believers. He says go and make disciples. Crazy, he doesn't say go and make Christians. He says go and make disciples. A guy by the name of Dallas Willard in 2006 wrote a book titled The Great Omission. And in it, he says this is almost 20 years ago. "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples. Whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of heaven into every corner of human existence." What does it mean to walk with Christ? Does it simply mean we believe what he taught? Now, some of you might be mentally composing an email in your head saying, "Pastor James going off his rocker. He's getting rid of the doctrine of salvation by faith alone," right? I'm not pushing for that. You can still send your email, send it to the same place. It'll get returned at SpokaneFirst.church. I'm not advocating faith by works, okay? Just bear with me for a bit. Did Jesus walk around Galilee in his Air Jerusalem Birkenstock saying, "Hey, just believe that I am who I am, so I say I am, and you're going to be fine"? That wasn't his summons, was it? Listen to the call. Matthew chapter 4, for our call to worship, I read Mark chapter 1, but Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22 says this: "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come, believe in me. Come, follow me,' he said, 'and I will show you how to fish for people.' They left their nets at once and followed him. little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They'd later get the nickname, like Sons of Thunder. What a nickname. That's awesome. They were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets, and he called to them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Follow me. Walk the way with me. In the book, John Mark Comer says, you see, Jesus is not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for apprentices in the kingdom of God. He actually argues we should potentially use the word apprentice and apprenticeship more than disciple and discipleship, as apprenticeship is a little bit more modern, a word that's a little bit more understandable. I think he might be on to something. What does an apprentice do? This one's a legit question. Somebody shout it out. He learns from the teacher, okay? What does a journeyman electrician do?
He increases his skills
and he learns from the master electrician. I'm not a journeyman electrician. I flip the lights on and off, and if they don't work, then I've had a light in my bathroom that hasn't worked for 6 years. Can't fix it. So I need a journeyman electrician. Anybody in the house, journeyman? Okay. What does a medical resident do? Say again? Learns to practice medicine. Okay, so I'll ask again. What does an apprentice do? Learns to practice, learns to do, learns from somebody who's better than they are, who knows more than they do, so that they can then in turn do it. So are you saying that an apprentice does more than just learn to recite specific sentences in their textbook? Are you saying then that a disciple does more than just read the manuals? Are you saying that a disciple or an apprentice does more than sit and be entertained by an okay speaker, an okay person giving a lecture? And are you saying that there's something more to earning a title in front of your name, like doctor or pediatrician? Because listen, if you guys would be so, like, call me doctor, actually call me pediatrician James, because I've read every book that Dr. Benjamin Spock has written about kids. Anybody under the age of, yeah, born before 19, younger people don't know who that is. Although I have not read them all. But that's not how I become a pediatrician, is it? Just by reading Dr. Spock's books? No. Maybe the idea of switching the term disciple to apprentice is something we could entertain, or maybe we should just look at putting a little bit more oomph behind the term Christian. Okay, the answer is going to be three. Okay? I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer is going to be three. You got to say three all at once really loud, okay? How many times in the Bible does the word Christian appear?
Three.
Very good. How many times in the Bible does the word disciple appear? 269 times. Slight difference there. What is Jesus calling us to be? Christians or followers of the way? See, there is a doing factor when it comes to following Jesus. There's an action factor when it comes to following him. That's why in his most important sermon, or one that most people know, he finishes like this in the Sermon on the Mount, the last story. He says, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. When Jesus finished teaching, the crowds were amazed that he taught with such authority. Again, listen to what he said to the brothers in the boat. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I know I've shared this in the past in some form. It's worth sharing again because it fits really well with our sermon series. In the times of Jesus, when a rabbi, because Jesus wasn't the only rabbi, there was a lot of different rabbis that would call different disciples. When a rabbi would call their disciples, they would come and say, follow me. And it was expected that they would be following close enough that they'd get the same dirt on their sandals as the teacher. As they walked the roads, as they went to the different places, they would get the same dirt because they'd follow that rabbi everywhere. So Jesus' call to Simon, to Andrew, to James, to John was a literal call to get out of the boat, to leave the stuff behind, and to follow him on a way of life, not just to follow Jesus to the synagogue, and not just to follow him to the 7-Eleven, because they didn't have those back then yet. Followers of a way of life. Who knows what the early Christians were called? Followers of the way. Followers of the way. There's a reason we sang that song this morning. You are the way, the truth, the life. That same Apostle Paul, who was the world's best church planter, who was a huge advocate for Christianity, was, well, for followers of the way, was also opposed to it before he had his come to Jesus moment. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for the cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them back, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. In Greek, the word way is hodos. Say that with me. Hodos. All right, now those who didn't say it, join everybody else and say it again. Hodos. All right, you spoke Greek this morning. It literally means a road or a path. This is part of why in our vision statement we said we want to walk with others as we walk with Jesus. We must follow the way of life that he lives. We must go down the road with him, go down the path with him. This is what Jesus was calling his disciples to do. This was more than just, let's go out to Centennial Trail because it's pretty this time of year and the river's rushing type of thing. This was, no, you follow, you do, you learn, you walk with Jesus. It's a reshaping of every part of our lives, a reordering of every part of our lives. The author Dallas Willard once again said, to follow Jesus then meant to walk alongside him in a posture of listening, learning, observing, obeying, and imitating. And John Mark Comer says, apprenticeship to Jesus, that is following Jesus, is a whole life process of being with Jesus for the purpose of becoming like Jesus and carrying on his work in the world. It's a lifelong journey, he says, in which we gradually learn to say and do the kinds of things Jesus said and did as we apprentice under him in every facet of our lives. So what does that look like in our fast-paced, go to school, go to work, go to retired lives of 2025? This is where we're going over the next 4 weeks, okay? I'm going to give you just a little bit of a heads up. We're going to say that it looks like being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. That's what apprenticeship to Jesus looks like in 2025. Being with Jesus, that was Jesus' call to the four men in the boat, right? Come with me. Come follow me. It was his call when he selected the 12 out of the however many he selected from. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says this, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach, and that's it. How about this? Jesus says in Mark chapter 6, I think, verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Be with Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about next week, okay? The following week, which is Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. One of his disciples said this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears, but we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. If you want to hear it from the mouth of Jesus himself, Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. Okay, so next week we're looking at what it's like to be with Jesus. Palm Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we're looking at what it's like to be like Jesus. And on Easter Sunday, what a great Sunday, we're going to look at doing what Jesus did. Well, how's that for a Sunday. That means we all got to die for the sins of the world. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but I know that Jesus did more than just say, hey, come be with me, come be like me. He told his disciples, go and do what I did. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, that's good, that's a starting point, will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father, going to be with the Father. Before Jesus sent out his 12 or his 72 on a mission trip, he told them this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. He said, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. Take a look at that. Who does that look like? Like, who's been doing those things in the story? Jesus is always the right answer in here. Who's healing the sick, raising the dead, curing those with leprosy, casting out demons? Jesus. And he's telling them, go and do the same things that I've been doing. Be with Jesus. Be like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. The Sunday after Easter, we're going to actually work through, like, how do we practically do this in our lives today? Should be quite a ride, okay? Following the way, a lesson in discipleship, a pathway to apprenticeship. I want to say we need to be more than just a people of faith. I want to say we need to be more than just believers. I want to say we need to be more than just Christians in name. We need to be apprentices of Jesus. We need to be disciples of Jesus. Remember Craig from the beginning of my story, the kind of guy that had Craigisms and was unique and quirky and that I had started following? He didn't know it, but I had become his disciple. He didn't know it, but he was forming me. The author, John Mark Comer, says, those of us who desire to follow Jesus, here's the reality we must turn and face. If we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it's highly likely we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. I'm so glad that on that day I kicked the tire and said some sort of Craigism on the van, that Alan said to me, hey, James, you really want to grow up to be like that? I don't think he was criticizing Craig. Years later, I want people to look at me and I see Craig. I want them to look at me and see Jesus. I want them to look at me, not even see James. I want them to look at me and see Jesus. My hope is that over these next 4 weeks, we get to figure out a little bit more of what that looks like for us in our lives today. Will you join me on this ride? Yeah. All right, then, let's pray. We'll have the worship team come up. Lord Jesus, thank you that you didn't just call us to believe a set of doctrines or principles. You called us to a life lived with you. And here specifically at First Church, for the group of people that meets in the corner of Ash and Cortland, you have called us to walk with others as we walk with you. And Lord, that can be a good catchphrase, or it can be a way of life. We really want it to be a way of life. We can't do that without your help, without your Spirit's guidance, without your direction, without us being next to, near you, with you, like you, and doing the things that you do. Lord, I pray your hand over this series as we head into Easter and the Sunday beyond. I pray that this would be a series that sticks, that changes us. We look forward to how you're going to do that. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.